I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, swine flu fears have shut down hundreds of American schools and thousands in Mexico. But as the virus keeps many children home, how are parents coping? We'll talk with parents on both sides of the border in just a few minutes. But first, more on the credit card bill before Congress. How might these changes affect you? And what can you do now if the credit card monster has you in its jaws? We'll ask Michelle Singletary. She's an expert on personal finance and the author of the nationally syndicated column, The Color of Money. Our regular contributor, Alvin Hall, is traveling today. We're happy to have Michelle Singletary back with us. Welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So first of all, you just heard the two lawmakers talking about this credit card bill, the so-called Credit Card Holders Bill of Rights. Just first, what's your assessment of the bill? Do you think this is needed?
It definitely is needed. There are some practices that have been very bad for consumers, have escalated their bills. And the fact of the matter is most people do not read their credit card agreements when they sign up. They don't know all these sort of hidden practices. It's really needed at this time when so many people are suffering. And the last thing they need is for their credit card bill to escalate to the point where they end up defaulting because of some of these practices.
But you are also a strong believer in personal responsibility. And so there are those like Congressman Garrett who argue that it's your responsibility as the consumer to know what you're agreeing to and to opt out if those terms don't suit you. What do you say to that?
I agree. Actually, I agree with both of them in a lot of respects. The fact is you need to be able to police the card companies, and you need to do that to protect people from themselves. You know, the fact of the matter is we don't need credit cards. Except for a couple transactions, for the most part, you should be paying cash for the things that you want in life. And it's definitely got out of hand. And I'm actually glad, and I hope that some of the unforeseen circumstances is that the credit is eliminated for some groups of people. Because the fact of the matter is some people should not have a credit card. You know, I volunteered at Jessup Prison in Maryland, and I was answering questions for some of the inmates, and many of them had credit card debt. Now, these are people who, for whatever reason, are ended up in the institution, but they probably shouldn't have been issued credit cards. They were, you know, not earning enough to really support the kind of debt that people end up putting on credit cards. And if it means that this kind of thing is going to take it out of the hands of people who aren't ready for it, then I'm all for that.
We also, though, hear stories. In fact, there was a letter to the editor in the Washington Post just the other day about a woman who paid religiously on time, paid her bill religiously on time, and because of a health crisis in her family was 1 or 2 days late on one card and had her rate increased. Is that the kind of thing that needs to be addressed, or is that just one of those are the breaks situations?
You know, I think it will address that sort of issue, but the fact of the matter is there are a lot of caveats in these bills, both the House and the Senate version and whatever comes together, that will allow credit card companies to still penalize that woman who was late. But I maintain that, you know, I understand that people have issues. God knows that I do. But the fact of the matter is you shouldn't be carrying a balance on your card anyway, so that if you got into that situation, your rates wouldn't have been jacked up because you wouldn't have been carrying a balance. And even if you were carrying a even if your rates were jacked up, if you're not carrying a balance, it doesn't matter what the interest rate is.
There are also those who there are examples, and again, I saw another letter to the Post recently about this, of people who carry zero balances and then have had their credit cards canceled. And then when they called to inquire about it, the company said to them, well, you're just no use to us.
Right. Well, in those cases, those are people who weren't using the cards. And if you're not using a card, what do you care if they cancel it? I'm like, yeah, like, kick me to the card. But, the thing is, we carry, lots of us, many people listening to this program have cards outstanding that they have never used or never intend to use. And they just sort of have it there for, I don't know.
Emergencies. Emergencies. They maybe need to rent a car once or twice a year to bring a child home from school or something of that sort?
Well, most of those people who are complaining that the car was canceled have a car that they have used, and that card is not the one that was canceled. The ones that are being canceled are cards that people were not using. And so why are you crying the blues over a card that got canceled? I think it's sort of ego, how dare you get rid of the card that I had that I wasn't using anyway.
So your bottom line is you shouldn't be carrying a balance. Period. There really is no reason for anybody to be carrying a credit card balance. In fact, I want to point out that the White House says that the average American is carrying a credit card. The average balance is about $10,000.
That's right. You should not be carrying a balance, period. And I understand that there's some, I mean, for the most part, think about the real things that we really kind of needed, because otherwise it causes a lot of issues. To rent a car, a hotel, and buy an airline ticket. How many times a year do you do that? So, okay, those are the times that you may need to have card. All those other times, there's no reason you should be carrying a balance.
What about the example that Congressman Ellison cited, whereas he had a constituent who was uninsured, mm-hmm. had an injury, mm-hmm. and put his co-pays or put his health care costs on his balance, on his credit card.
Right.
I mean, in fact, and I think you know, because you've reported on this, of how many bankruptcies are in fact caused by health care issues, by health debts, or by uninsured folks putting health payments or payments for medical care on their credit cards. What about that?
I don't think you should do it. I mean, for a couple of reasons, because if you are uninsured and most of the time it's because you don't have a job, then basically you're taking on debt that you have no idea when you could possibly pay it. And so it would force people to try to find other ways to deal with their crisis, get another job, try to find, I mean, and it also would enforce our society to put in place protections for us all. Because we have these lifelines that are taking people's life away, literally, we don't have universal health care. We don't have the kinds of things that should be in place that people don't have to go into debt for their health. So I wouldn't say, when people lose their jobs and people say, well, you can use your credit card, don't do that. Move in a relative, get out of the apartment, take in roommates, do whatever you can, but you should not be using that credit card as an emergency. It only put you further into a hole.
All right. Michelle Singletary is an expert on personal finance. She's author of the nationally syndicated column, The Color of Money. She was kind enough to join us on the line from her home in Maryland. Michelle, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome.